Verdugo back to the pin. He caught it. He took it back.
He's doing everything right now.
That ball is gone. What a bullet by Devers.
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the TC and Company podcast. I'm Tom Karen with you as we are now under 4 weeks away from the start of the 2021 Major League postseason. And if you look at the schedule today, I'm going to tell you, look at the schedule today. Look at the standings today. Just don't look at the scores from yesterday. And you'll feel a lot better about things if you're a Red Sox fan. Because as we stand here somehow through this wild last few days, the Red Sox are still holding on to the second wild card spot in what has become, for fans in five different cities, one of the most bizarre playoff races ever. Red Sox, as you know, beaten 12-7 on Tuesday night. It was 12-1 early, and they got some runs late, a couple of home runs from Bobby Dalbec late, but too little too late. And the Red Sox are beaten for the second straight day by the Rays after the most excruciating loss of the season. And that is really saying something because there have been plenty of excruciating losses this season. But that Labor Day, which, by the way, I had the day off. I have to send a thank you gift to Adam Pellerin because there's never been a better use of a vacation day in my career than taking Monday off, watching the Red Sox with a 7-1 lead and Chris Sale on the mound, give it all back and lose in extra innings in stunning fashion. A game they would have won if it was played at night, but it was played during the day and the sun shines during the day. And that was bad news for Alex Verdugo and the Red Sox outfield, as they had a brutal day defensively. 4 errors, 6 unearned runs. But let's try to live in the present and not live in the past. And look at the standings today. There are essentially now 5 teams in the hunt in the American League wild card because the Red Sox and Yankees are both stumbling. They have allowed other teams to get back in it. But nobody seems to want to run away with this thing at all. The Yankees have lost 4 straight games. The Oakland A's, who were putting on so much pressure, have lost 4 straight games. The Red Sox have lost 3 in a row. The Seattle Mariners have lost 2 in a row. The only team making a push is the team you should be worried about today, the Toronto Blue Jays. Now tied in the loss column with the Red Sox. Still 2 games back because somehow the Red Sox have played 4 games more than the Toronto Blue Jays. 79 wins for the Red Sox, 75 for the Blue Jays. But each team with 64 losses, and that's what you should keep your eye on. The Toronto Blue Jays have won 6 in a row, including 2 straight, over the New York Yankees over the last 10 games. Just 10 games, not even 2 weeks. The Blue Jays have picked up 5 games on the Red Sox in the standings and 7 games on the Yankees in the standings. And they are bashing the ball. They are pitching better. And they go for the sweep of the Yankees tonight. The Red Sox try to avoid the sweep. They got Nate Eovaldi on the mound, going to try to win a game before they head off on a daunting road trip to Chicago to face the White Sox. White Sox in first place in the Central, though they have struggled a bit of late, playing a little bit better of late. Good win last night for them over the Oakland A's. And now they not only go to Chicago, but they go to Seattle. Team trying to catch them. So that's all what's coming up. But the Red Sox just have to stop being their own worst enemy, have to play better defense, have to win some games and get some guys back from COVID. Kike Hernandez returned last night. That was good news. You got Josh Taylor back already. You got guys coming back. Danny Santana. Xander Bogaerts, hopefully sometime in Chicago, will join the team if all goes well. And that's obviously the biggest one. Christian Arroyo still in Cleveland. 2 weeks later, he's still there, trying to get out of that. So it has just, as you know, been 11 players on the COVID IL at one point. If they can get through all that and still make the playoffs, and if you've got Chris Sale, I keep saying, if you get Chris Sale on the mound for a wild card game and he turns around and Xander Bogaerts is there, Kike Hernandez in center field, and you got Schwarber in the lineup, and you know, maybe then with all those guys, they'll start playing better baseball. We'll see how it goes. But right now, they need to win a game, and they need to keep the Toronto Blue Jays behind them. With now just 21 games remaining in the Red Sox season. Not a lot of feel-good stories over the last few days. However, there was one. Last Friday, the Red Sox at home against the Cleveland Indians, and Ryan Brazier took the mound for Boston It was his first appearance of the season, a season that has seen him go through a lot. He lost his father before the season, a former baseball player who was so instrumental in his career. And then as he was just about ready to rejoin the team after a calf injury, he got hit in the head by a line drive, 104 miles an hour, had to get surgery to repair his ear, concussion, went through some dark times trying to come through from that. But he came through it all and was back on the mound last Friday. This guy's been a warrior over his years, big part of the bullpen in the 2017 World Series. By the end of last year, was one of their best relievers and was poised to have a great year. Now he's trying to put together a great finish and help this team get to the playoffs. Ryan Brazier, Red Sox reliever, join me on the TC and Company podcast. Ryan Brazier joining us now as the Red Sox get ready to wrap up the homestand here before heading off. Ryan, how are you today?
Doing good. Just trying to get some stuff ready for the West Coast road trip.
Hey, last Friday, you got back on the mound here in Boston, and, you know, you've been through a lot and have done a lot, not this year, we'll get to that, but in your career, right? You've been on the mound of the World Series, you've played overseas, I think of all the mounds you've gotten on in your career, but what was it like last Friday, after everything you've been through this year, to get on the mound at Fenway Park in Boston?
You know, man, I don't know that I've ever been as anxious to get back on the mound. You know, even in 18, you know, waiting in Pawtucket to get the call, you know, with as good as that team was and finally getting it. But yeah, last week after kind of the crappy year that I've been having and finally getting a chance to get back on a big league mound is, you know, I told people it felt like my debut, you know, kind of, you know, back in 13, super nervous all day. I honestly don't know if I've ever been as anxious to get on a mound.
You know, you lost your dad earlier this year, and I'm so sorry about that. I lost my father years ago, and it's never easy, but he was a baseball player and he meant so much to you, as your career. Tell me about your dad. What was he like? What did he mean to you as a guy who had played in the minors and was able to share some of his experience with you? What was your dad like?
So my dad was a pretty hard-nosed dude, you know, growing up, always coached all my teams, you know, baseball, football, and was always the pretty hard-nosed coach. But, you know, every team that we ever played on that he coached was always a winning team. He expected guys to play hard and to play the right way. But, and then even when he stopped coaching me, you know, never missed a game. In high school, you know, he would drive however many hours when I was in college to go to the game. And then, you know, obviously in pro ball playing all over the country, you know, especially early on, all he had really was the audio. But, you know, you get to higher levels and they have the game feeds on TV or online and, you know, never really missed a game and always had a conversation after the game or the next morning, regardless if I pitched or not. So, you know, it's kind of like he was just as invested as I was, you know, at that point of baseball anyways. But yeah, loved listening, loved watching. If I wasn't playing or heck, even if I was playing, he would have my game on the computer or radio and watching the Rangers on TV, just absolute baseball nut.
You know, you said it was a hard-nosed dude and you had to be pretty tough to keep pursuing your dream, right? I mean, when you're in Japan, and again, you played, you know, Mexican Winter Leagues and what you went through from the Angels to finally get the chance with the Boston, how much of you know, your dad do you think kind of rubbed off on you? Because not everybody would have stuck with it, right? I think a lot of guys would have walked away, but you kept battling to try to make that dream come true.
Right. Well, you know, it obviously we had lots of conversations over the years about baseball. And, you know, one thing that we always talked about is not being done until I'm ready to be done. And I in those years where it was kind of going, you know, sideways and not up, there were conversations about, and especially 18, you know, I'd not signed until the first day of minor league camp with the Red Sox. I was sitting at home, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And, you know, there was always a little whisper, you know, don't stop working out. Don't stop throwing. Don't stop, you know, throwing bullpens just in case. And, you know, and what, it's pretty funny because once we had kids, you could kind of start seeing a little different side of my dad that only my sister got to see. But no, just always there. And regardless of what I would have decided to do, he would have been right there, you know, supporting either way. But obviously wanting me to continue playing and you know, keep trying to pursue my dream.
Ryan, you the oldest of your family?
No, sister? I'm not. Actually, I have a half brother and a half sister older than I am.
Okay. See, my dad was a tough guy and you know, blue collar guy and worked his tail off and didn't suffer fools. But I was the youngest of five, and I always thought I kind of had it easier because he took it out on everybody else first.
No, my younger sister definitely had it easier.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to be on the back. And then it's funny you said that because then same thing, right? We had kids, and all of a sudden you see that grandfather side of your dad, and you're like, all right, there it is. There's the song.
Oh yeah, yeah. Once we had kids, and especially, you know, once we had two and then my sister had her son, you definitely started seeing a side of my dad that wasn't around much when we were kids. But, and it's funny because once we got out of high school and I got married, I started calling my dad Pops. And then my wife started calling my dad Pops. And now that's what my kids called my dad, was Pops. And so he went from like dad to Pops.
Yeah, I think, yeah, my dad's French. He was Pepe. Same thing. Once he took on that role of Pepe, he was a whole different guy. You know,
right,
that's funny. Hey, so, I mean, this happens literally on right before spring training. You get the spring training. Was it a calf injury? Is that what you had to deal with? What'd you get when you were down there?
No, so I broke my hand the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, it was a hand. Why did
I
think
calf? And I say my hand. It was my pinky finger on my right hand. I was playing with our dog in the backyard, and I hurt it a little bit working out, and I re-aggravated it, and come to find out it was broke.
Yeah.
And, but the calf happened actually the last day of spring training.
Oh, that was at the end. Okay.
Yeah. The last day of spring training.
Yeah. And you're that close. I mean, you're getting ready and that happens and the setback. And again, I'm not going to drag you through everything you went through this year, but you get, you know, the sim game, and we hear about the sim game, and here you come, right? Here comes Ryan Brazier.
Yep.
You get hit in a line drive. Has that ever happened to you? You ever been hit by a line drive before? Like, that?
Been hit on like a bouncing ground ball or you know, like one of the ones you think is crushed, but it's a changeup that, you know, might catch you in the butt or the back of the leg or something. But
yeah,
as far as really taking one direct, that's the first time that it's ever happened.
Do you remember it? Do you remember the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I never went out or anything. It hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. Have you looked at it? Do you go back and look at something?
I haven't watched the video. I probably won't be watching the video.
Yeah,
but I did see a picture of the video, and my glove was like an inch from the ball. Huh. Super, super close to stopping it, but just, you know, one of those things that happens, and you know, you just kind of gotta roll with it.
We got the update from AC, you know, the next day. None of us knew it had happened, and you could hear the emotion in AC's voice, in you know, in real time, right? This is the next day. He's saying,
right,
you know, keep him in your thoughts, pray for the family. Those next few days, how scary was it? What was going on through your mind as you first recovered from that?
You know, when it first happened, without going into a lot of the details and the stuff that went on, really scary, you know, even in the ambulance or getting to the hospital. And then, you know, the first few days I got out of the hospital, it was sitting in a dark room, and, you know, I couldn't listen to TV or play video games or, you know, light or nothing. I just had to pretty much be in the dark because it hurt. You know, my head was just literally pounding for 3 or 4 days until it finally, you know, kind of gave way. And yeah, you just, you never know, you know, especially playing, you never know when you're going to be able to get back out there. And I don't know if I was so scared because I didn't know if I was going to be able to play anymore or this year, or, you know, I was so close from coming back from my calf for that to happen. And then not be knowing that I wasn't going to be back for a while. You know, I think everything just kind of piled on right there at the same time.
Well, I was going to say, because you, like I said before, right, you've been through so much, but nothing like this, right? And
right.
you know, I did Bruins games, did hockey here for a long time, and the concussions that, that hockey players will get going into boards or whatever. And they always, the same thing I've always heard from guys is the scariest thing is, you know, you have a good day and you think you're kind of coming out of it. Then the next day it's back to the dark room. Like that. Did you sort of have a pretty good progression, or was it kind of the, bumps, the ups and downs?
No, I had a pretty good progression. The only thing that really bothered me, I had really bad ringing, which I still get if I talk about it or think about it. But for really for a couple months up until, you know, not super recently, but, you know, a few weeks ago, if I would wake up in the middle of the night, I'd have to turn on the TV to go back to sleep just because my right ear would just be ringing. And that was probably the worst part of it all. Was how bad that just constant ringing in my right ear. But
how about the kids? How tough was it? You know what I mean? Because they're used to seeing dad jumping on your lap.
My wife and kids were actually in Panama City up in North Florida when I got hit, and they were, you know, obviously my wife was ready to jump in the car and drive down. And my son was super, not, I don't want to say scared, because obviously I would never, every time I talked to him, it was about how okay it was going to be. You know, I just am hurt. But they were ready to jump in the car and drive down. And I told them the last thing that I needed was my wife and two kids, you know, in the same little small apartment as I was. Because one, they would be bored. And two, I probably wouldn't be very nice. But no, they, you know, my son handled it really well. So did my daughter. Then they all did. But they got to come out finally and see me, and I think we all needed it.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing, you know, in the very early days, I mean, there's a point where you're worried about what your life is going to be like, right? I mean, you don't know as you're coming out of this. At what point did you suddenly start to think you can play again? Was there ever a point, you know, was that always there, or was there a point at first that's so far out of your mind it's not even part of it?
Day one, I was so ready to get back that day one, after it happened, I was asking how long I would have to sit out. And obviously, you know, it's all about symptoms, you know, concussion symptoms and passing all the tests. And like I said, I had to wait until some stuff cleared up outside of the concussion to start baseball activities. But no, you know, I told people early on that I never thought that I'd have a problem getting back on a mound for flinching or, you know, for being apprehensive of pitching again. But it was the day I was supposed to leave Florida to come back to Boston when I got hit. And so I was already on the, you know, right on the cusp of being back and pitching again. And, you know, when it happened, the first thing I thought about was pitching, you know, obviously my safety and being healthy, but there was no point in which I thought about not playing or not pitching anymore.
And so how soon was it before you could throw a ball again?
It was, so that happened June 4th. I'm trying to think. I came to Boston at the end of June.
Right.
It was probably a good month before I was able to do any sort of baseball activity.
And I asked you at the beginning about getting back to the mound in Fenway. What were those first days like getting out there and throw? Was there any trepidation, or got you right back?
There wasn't. It was pretty soft. You know, they wanted to make sure that I was following the ball good, and, you know, my tracking was okay, and I wasn't and getting overwhelmed. And honestly, I was, the first day I started playing catch, I couldn't believe how good my arm felt. And I don't know if that was just because I was so ready to get going again, or the little break, or whatever, but no, you know, it all kind of, it's funny because I started feeling better as soon as I started being able to do baseball stuff. And Chris, you know, me and Chris talked when he came, you know, Chris came up here for the first couple months of the season, then came back down to Florida. And he was like, dude, when I left Florida, even after my head, he said, even if you're not doing baseball stuff, you are going to feel so much better going from Florida to Boston and just being at the stadium, being with the guys, being, you know, with the team. And it did. And, you know, mentally, physically, I felt it just gave me a boost, and it kind of, my progression from the concussion and baseball kind of, you know, tracked upwards at the same time. So it all came together right at the end, right when it needed to.
you started when you those first appearances in Worcester, everybody was telling me you look good and they were all happy. The numbers weren't necessarily always good. That's what happens sometimes, right? But were you were you able to just stick with the process, feel good about where you were?
Yeah, I was, you know, and like you said, it's obviously frustrating, you know, not getting results and you know, in a game like this, it's so result based. You know, obviously you don't want to not pitch good, but at the same time, you know, coming back from what had happened and really just about getting a feel and getting back to being comfortable on the mound. And, you know, and obviously my last few in Portland were better. And then, you know, I've been feeling better every time I step on the mound.
The cap you're wearing now, the Kevlar, what's that like?
Any difference? It's a little piece. It's about, I don't know, 6 or 8 inches long that fits inside the little lip of your inside of your hat. And it just goes along the outside of my head above my ear. Just the little spot that protects you where I got hit. But no, I don't feel any difference or feel it, or it's super thin, not real heavy. So it just sits in my hat and go on about my business.
Back to when you get here now. So you get here last week and you get on them on Friday. You also come into the middle of a pandemic outbreak, right?
Right.
Just because nothing's going to be easy for you this year, right? With the whole thing. What was that like? I mean, you know, you come in, I mean, you've been around the team, obviously, but talking to the guys around the team, nobody's ever seen anything like this. It was just running through everybody, it seemed.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I got to say the staff and even the players, you know, once they got on us and you know, trying to stay away from each other and try to isolate and do a good job as far as not spreading anymore. I feel like we did a pretty good job. I know we had a lot of guys that get it or that got it, but, you know, I feel like we did what we had to do to keep playing for one. You know, some guys coming in and getting big hits that helped us win some ball games. And I don't know that there's anything you can do to prepare for, you know, having 8 or 9 guys on your team, you know, miss games at the same time.
Yeah. But, you got half a roster on the injured list. Last year, I mean, you put together a really good last year with everything going on. You know what I mean? You're up in the suites instead of a clubhouse. I mean, again, you look at your numbers, you had a terrific season. How strange was it to do it in the middle of all that? Did that ever, you know, what was that like for you?
I don't know. You know, I started out in the 2.0 spring training. I finished regular spring training a couple of days before we got sent home on a really good note, like ready to go, felt really good, had the few months, came into 2.0, and everybody kind of had a drag on, you know, their progression, just because nobody really knew when we were going to get started, how it was going to go. But I got to spring training up in Boston in July and was working on some things that I needed to work on. And I had a few, you know, my first few outings were kind of rough, but after that, I got with Bush and Walker in the bullpen and, you know, lined a couple things out and got back to, how I was throwing in 18. If you look at take away my first few outings from last year, it's probably one of the best I've ever been.
Yeah.
Trying to get back there right now and just get comfortable on the mound and try to find that guy again.
You know, it's unusual because your career at the major league level, your strikeout per nine has gotten better each year. Is that, what do you think is the key to that? Is that you sort of learning more about hitters? Is it learning more about your stuff and when to use what? Like, is it more your strengths or is it more learning about the guys you're facing?
I think a little bit of both, and even learning from guys on my team that, you know, strike out a lot of guys, you know, being with Barnes and Workman the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, two guys that strike out a ton of guys, and just, you know, kind of watching how they go about it and, you know, just in how guys go about it all over baseball that strike out a lot of people. I feel like early in my career, I used to really just try to throw and not pitch. And, you know, after I had Tommy John and went to Japan and then 18, I kind of started getting, you know, more into mechanics and trying to figure out ways to get guys out instead of just throwing. And, you know, fine tuning, you know, some off speed stuff and just really just using my pitches more effectively.
You know, I got to bring it up every time we do an interview with you, the 2018 Sanchez moment with the get in the box. I just, you know, it's been a lot of great moments in Red Sox Yankee history. You'll always be part of that lore, but what was that like? I mean, just the adrenaline of the playoff run, the whole thing, like, is that anything, you know, and then you're in the World Series. As a guy who, you know, as a reliever, a late inning guy, you're feeding off that adrenaline anyway, but is it just at another level when you talk about the playoffs?
Oh man, it's on a completely different level. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, they ask me the loudest place I've ever been. And for me, it was Houston. You know, I got to a couple games in Houston with guys on base in the middle of an inning and it was deafening. It really was. And so I think that especially in the playoffs, you know, fans never are quiet. They're always energetic and you never have a run. Well, besides the 22 run game we had all game, you know, generally playoff games are close. And so there's never a dull moment. There's, you know, fans are always into it. So there's always that little extra adrenaline, you know, in playoffs compared to regular season.
And you're back here now at a time when, you know, you guys in the playoff, it's been the strangest playoff race. I've been doing this, you know, two decades. I've never seen a playoff race like this. Team will get hot. That you saw the Yankees, right? 13 in a row. Right. And now they've lost 6 in a row. And Blue Jays were dead and buried. And now they've rattled off 9 out of 10 and they're back in it. You know, every time people bury you, you know, you guys will win 3 straight series, taking 2 out of 3. It's kind of there now, right? I mean, you're coming back into the heat of the race. How cool is that for you?
No, it's awesome. You know, and you know, talking to guys, I've watched more baseball this year than I've probably ever watched. You know, being in Florida with nothing to do, you know, the Red Sox are on East Coast. And then when their game's over, the West Coast games are starting. But yeah, it's been a weird year, you know, like ups and downs. And it's crazy because our division has 4 of the top, you know, 10 teams in baseball. As of, you know, they came out with power rankings yesterday. I guess I saw on Twitter or something that we had 4 teams in it. You know, I feel like that's unheard of. And so it's hard to get on a, you know, a good roll when you're playing teams like the Blue Jays with their offense or the Rays with, you know, they do everything right. Or the Yankees that just, you know, they can bang whenever they want. And it's hard to get on a, you know, a good roll when you have to play these guys a few times a month. But no, like you said, it's once we're down, we'll come back and win a couple series in a row and put us right back in a spot where we want to be for the end of September.
I want to last couple things and we'll get you out of here. But when you talk about this playoff race, I keep saying, and I've said this for months, right? I mean, if it's a wild card, it's a wild card. But if you can get Chris Sale to start a wild card game, and if, you know, again, will you have to blow everything out to get there? We'll see, right? That's why it'd be nice.
Right.
You want to wrap it up early if you can. But you got to feel good about this team's chances if you've got your staff relatively ready to go for a wild card game and then beyond, right? Do you feel this team has what it takes to put that kind of run together?
Oh, 100%. You know, and I think AC said it best, you know, in middle of July when nobody's going to be able to trade for a Chris Sale. You know, and I think everybody knows what he brings to the table. So, you know, our job as a team is to get to that one game and give him, you know, give him the ball and let him do what he's done for, you know, 10 years, you know, go out and get the job done. But yeah, you know, everybody on our, well, most of our guys on our starting staff have playoff experience. You know, bullpen's a little different. We were looking around out there yesterday and there's not many guys left from 18,
Ryan, there's not many guys left from July. Okay.
Right. That's true. But yeah, you know, I think everybody feels good about, you know, where we'll be at once we get in.
Obviously, it could be a huge part of that with your experience. I'll ask you finally here. I was going to ask you anyway, but you mentioned before you watched a lot of games. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to rate the Nesson broadcast. We doing okay?
Oh yeah, everybody. You know, I'll be honest with you. I put my iPad on the table with the MLB Network app or the MLB app, and I got baseball on my iPad. I got whatever on my TV, and I'm listening to others, talking to the kids on the phone. So it was a circus going on, but no, broadcasting is good.
All right, we appreciate that. Hey, so happy to see you back in the ballpark, back on the mound. Continued success. Can't wait to watch these last few weeks, and we're just happy to have you back with the team. And thanks for dropping by and joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Great conversation. You really got to root for a guy like Ryan, who's been through so much. And we wish him nothing but the best and continued health, because, again, this bullpen, as you know, has been through a lot. They've had to put it together with tape and wires and chewing gum just to get through this COVID thing. But now you've got a few guys, and you add Ryan Brazier to the mix, along with Whitlock, who's been good all year, Ottavino, who's been good more often than not, Garrett Richards, who's been unbelievable, reclaiming his role now as a reliever on this team. But look for Ryan Brazier. He's got that World Series experience. He could be an important arm down the stretch here and into the postseason. All right, the road trip going to begin after this last one with Tampa Bay, Chicago. Then we get some late-night baseball in Seattle. 10 o'clock starts next week before they come home for the Yankees, the Mets, and then the Orioles. Six games remaining with the Orioles. Don't forget that. That's important, because that could be the ticket, although they just played well against the Yankees. So, listen, this is why you pay the money, you buy your ticket, you strap yourself in for the roller coaster ride, and we have had some dips and some thrills. We'll see what happens over the next few weeks. But for now, that does it for this edition of the TC and Company podcast. I want to thank Ryan Brazier for dropping by, and thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time.